Hello and welcome to Volume 45, Number 19 of Grapevine, your weekly local news magazine. Brought to you by the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association, this edition is published on Friday the 8th of May 2026. I'm Graham, your presenter, joined by Margaret, Julie, and the welcome return of Dusty. And in the news this week, the seafront's new big wheel is open, the councillor having issues with new doorbells, and a group of urban explorers investigate the Regent Theatre. All this plus Grapevine Extra, with Dusty on old typewriters and Julie on grandads. First, though, a birthday, and we send our very best wishes for tomorrow, Saturday the 9th, to Brian Quinney. Have a great day, Brian. Okay, it's time for the first part of this week's local news, and this week we welcome back Dusty, along with Margaret and Julie.
Hello everybody. At last I'm back with you again, having had another spell in hospital, but it is lovely to be back, and so we're going to start the news today with a very topical item, raised prices putting off customers. Norfolk's tourism businesses are having to put up their prices to cover an accumulation of rising costs in recent years, an industry expert has said. Chris Scargill, head of tourism, leisure and hospitality at Norwich-based chartered accountants and business advisors Larkin Gowan, said that firms' overheads have been on the rise since COVID. Increasing staff costs are one of the main reasons for upping prices, with employers' national insurance contributions and the minimum wage both increasing in the last year. Energy and fuel bills have skyrocketed since the start of the Iran conflict 9 weeks ago. While the cost of buying products and services from other businesses in the supply chain has also gone up, Larkin Gowan's 2025 tourism survey found that more than half of tourism, leisure and hospitality businesses in East Anglia plan to put their prices up this year, with a quarter considering cutting staff due to rising costs. There's been an accumulation of costs over a number of years post-COVID, Mr. Scargill said. A lot of businesses tried to absorb these costs at first, but as they've grown, they've found it harder. A lot of places have invested to supply a quality product, but they have to charge a quality price to cover that. However, Mr. Scargill said that higher prices are putting off customers, who are now spending less. People are making economies, he said. Restaurants and pubs are seeing people having one course instead of three. There are definite ways of reducing costs for a family, perhaps by having a takeaway instead of eating out. He added that holidaymakers staying in Airbnbs are now much more inclined to cater for themselves during their stay rather than dining in restaurants or drinking in local pubs. Kayla Dunn, director of Visit North Norfolk, said, "There has been a trend in people booking last-minute breaks in the last couple of years. They are mainly waiting to see if their finances allow, what the weather is doing, and if there will be any late deals," she said. "And so, the businesses we have spoken to are cautious about how the next few months will pan out. It's really a case of waiting to see what happens over the coming few weeks. People may choose the value and the reassurance of having a holiday closer to home if global events evolve and Norfolk is a popular destination with its beautiful coast and countryside and market towns.
Oh, hello everybody, it's Julie. If you can hear bird song in the background, it's because we're in my sun lounge today. So let's added enjoyment for you, all free. Gorson's St Andrew's Church has launched an urgent appeal after the discovery that parts of its floor have completely rotted away. The church is appealing to raise £140,000 after investigations revealed sections of the wooden flooring has completely disintegrated. The rot has forced the church to operate with half the number of its original seats. Shawla Riley, vicar of St Andrew's, said, "St Andrew's is a really beautiful church, which is here for everyone who lives and works in Gorston, regardless of whether or not they come to church services on a Sunday. We love to welcome visitors to come and look around and find some peace, as well as welcoming people at important times for baptisms, weddings, funerals, and special services for the community. We're so grateful for all the support down many generations and now at our time of need." The church, a Grade 2 listed landmark, was discovered to have serious issues in the flooring in August 2024, with sections having completely rotted away and posing a safety risk to the public. As a result, large sections of flooring were removed to ensure safety and allow for essential airflow, forcing the building to operate at 50% capacity. This has effectively halved the space available at the church for worship, weddings and community events. The total cost to repair the floor and internal masonry has been estimated at £170,000. £30,000 has already been promised towards restoring the floor, but the church must raise the remaining £140,000 in order to begin the work. Any additional funds raised will be used for future preservation and mason repairs on the internal walls. You can donate to the appeal on their official Crowdfunder page. The church remains open for services on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m, Thursdays at 10:30 and a.m. that is, and is opening in the mornings Monday to Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Hello everybody, it's Margaret. A sewage warning has been issued at one of the area's most popular beaches. A surface against sewage alert is in place at Gorston. A spokesman for the charity said, "Storm sewage has been discharged from a sewer overflow in this location within the last 48 hours. A number of sewer overflows discharge into the River Yare that flows into the sea at the northern end of the beach. Gorston Beach has previously been named among the best in both the UK and Europe. Anglian Water has been contacted by the Mercury for comment."
Plans to place new communication kiosks with payphones, touch screens and defibrillators in the town have been rejected. Planners at Great Yarmouth Borough Council have refused plans to install three communication kiosks and also gain advertising consent in Great Yarmouth. NWP Street Limited had applied for planning permission to build the kiosks at three sites, outside North Quay, outside 3 Marketplace and outside 113 Regent Road. Planners at the Borough Council said the proposal for outside North Quay would result in detriment being caused to the safe functioning of the highway. Norfolk County Council Highways had objected to the plans, citing concerns about the unit causing an obstruction to drivers, views of oncoming traffic, and the advertising screen being a distraction to drivers. The proposed kiosks would have delivered a range of services, including providing the ability to make calls and wayfinding via a touchscreen. They would also have had digital advertising and be fitted with defibrillators to be registered on the National Defibrillator Network with their location known to ambulance services. Each kiosk would have acted as a multifunctional hub, offering touchscreen navigation and information designed to assist residents and visitors. Regarding the proposal for the marketplace, planners said it would conflict with the use of the town centre marketplace as a public open space and conflict with the use of the marketplace overall, resulting in the loss of some of the functionality as a public open space. Concerning plans on Regent Road, they said it would create a detrimental impact on the character and appearance of the conservation area and the long views and character of Regent Road. Overall, planners said limited enhancements to the existing telecommunications network would not outweigh the harm caused by the siting of the communication kiosks in the three locations.
A century-old local theatre that has stood derelict for almost a decade has been explored by a group of urban adventurers. Video creators Urban Banded UK shared photos and footage of the Regent Theatre on Regent Road in Great Yarmouth after they entered the Grade 2 listed building during a visit last year. The venue was built in 1914 and is known for its classical interior, but has been empty since closing in 2016. Since then, it has fallen into disrepair, but the explorers said that much of its original character remains untouched. In the video, one member of the group described the abandoned theatre as one of the nicest theatres we've ever seen, remarkably original. Despite peeling paint and water damage, the footage shows the ornate Rocco-style auditorium still intact, along with its eight bow-fronted boxes supported by slender single columns. The tea room also survives. The Theatres Trust charity placed the building on its at-risk register in 2022, warning that it faces ongoing threat from the deterioration and lack of use. The theatre, once described as an Edwardian extravaganza, is privately owned by a church group based in East London. The owners have previously said they intend to reopen the building as a community centre, but no restoration work has yet begun. A spokesperson for Great Yarmouth Borough Council said, "The Regent Theatre is a Grade 2 listed building which remains an important feature of the town's heritage. The council is open to further engagement with the landowner to discuss restoration work to conserve its significant historic and architectural value." Urban Banded are a three-person team from Greater Manchester with around 140,000 YouTube subscribers. In England and Wales, urban exploration is not automatically a criminal offence, but it exists in a legal grey zone. Simple trespass, entering a building without the owner's permission, is a civil wrong, not a criminal offence under English and Welsh law. Police have no power to arrest someone solely for being inside a derelict building. The Regent Theatre opened on Boxing Day in 1914 with a capacity of 1,679 people and four dressing rooms. It was taken over by Associated British Cinemas, ABC, in 1929 and remained in cinema use until the 1980s with Blade Runner, in 1982, its final screening. Many locals remember it as the local venue for the ABC Miners, the children's Saturday cinema club. Names like Tom and Jerry and other cartoons were mixed with various cheaply made black and white fantasy children's serials such as Flash Gordon and Rocket Man. It was about a 2-hour session and all for 6 old pence admission. They were the days, weren't they? Yeah. It later operated as a bingo hall until 2011, and then briefly as a nightclub until its closure in 2016. Land registry documents show it changed hands for £215,000 on April 4th, 2016, and is now owned by two London-based trustees on behalf of Mount Zion Ministries. Attempts have been made by the Mercury to contact the owner of the building. Last year, former manager Trevor Wicks told the BBC that rainwater had got into the roof. Large sections of the ceiling had fallen and rust was forming. He warned that the building was going to deteriorate further and that this must be prevented from happening. Let's hope it is.
A developer has abandoned plans to convert a derelict hotel into housing. Hammond Property Developments has withdrawn its application to transform the 16-bedroom Rains Court Lodge on Euston Road in Great Yarmouth into three residential dwellings. The site already had planning permission, granted in April 2023, for a much larger development of 28 self-contained flats. A document submitted with the application said the vacant hotel was marketed for nearly 12 months with little interest, with estate agents confirming continued operation as a guest house was no longer viable.
Smartphone doorbell system in Rollesby. Never mind phone calls. You can now use them to take photos, do your banking, and even your weekly shop. But for the residents of flats on Coronation Avenue in Rollesby, the smartphone has a use too far. They are complaining about a new entry system for the block, which calls their mobile when someone is ringing at their front door. They say poor phone signals in the village mean that they often miss visitors, even if they are in, because their calls do not come through. The system also allows visitors at the door to make video calls to them, but residents say that these can end up draining their data. They also say delivery drivers are often confused by the high-tech intercom and just end up banging on the doors and windows to make deliveries. Wendy Durham, 52, who lives in the block of council flats, is among those unhappy at the new wireless system, which replaced a simple buzzer. It's a good idea if the phone signal was good around here, but they never took it into consideration, she said. My neighbour's signal is really bad, and he has no broadband. It is ridiculous, she said. They haven't thought about the residents without a signal or without the internet. The new intercom system, installed by Great Yarmouth Borough Council for four properties on Coronation Avenue on the 1st of April, relies on wireless technology. The visitors have to type in the flat number that they want on a control panel outside the main entrance to the block. This then puts a call through to the resident's landline, mobile or smart device. The mobiles mean that residents can see who is visiting, even if they're not at home. But not all those living in the flats have landlines, and those that do not struggle with poor mobile reception. There are those too. Miss Durham, or Mrs. Murren, uses a pay-as-you-go phone with limited data, which runs out quickly when she receives video calls from visitors, postmen and delivery drivers via the intercom. She added, "It used to be a wooden door, and we used to just have a trade button. It just worked so much better. Have had someone knock on my door at 7:30 in the morning to deliver a parcel for my neighbour. The postman and the delivery drivers, none of them can get in. There are so many blatant and serious problems with the door." Paul Monsey, 77, and a postman in the area said, "One day I came to collect a parcel and I couldn't because I couldn't get in. Because there was a trade button, and I just pressed the trade button and it opened. That was before then." but that doesn't work now, that the old system was 25 years old and had become increasingly unreliable. A spokesman for GYBC said, "Great Yarmouth Borough Council has not been made aware of any issues to this particular block. Us accessing calls via the intercom will not affect residents' minutes, and downloading the video application is optional, which does use a small amount of data. The council is now in the process of arranging a visit to the block by both our surveyor and the supplier to assess the signal and discuss the system further with residents. However, we have not received any reports of signal-related issues to date. The postal delivery service has been provided with an access code for the system and therefore should not need to use the intercom. We will recheck that postal delivery personnel assigned to this area are aware of the code, although this should already be in place. With regard to other delivery drivers, access to the building should only be granted when residents are present. The council would not encourage allowing entry for unattended deliveries. Any items left in communal areas would be a breach of the safety regulations and the building's fire risk assessment."
Were you one of the lucky winners in last month's postcode lottery? Norfolk won big throughout April, with three different locations getting lucky in the national draw. In the Norwich area, winning spots included NR10-3HB, Angela Close, NR16-1RJ, Laxlands Road, and NR47QL, Ryrie Court, with players scooping £1,000. And in the seaside towns, players from NR317HA, Edinburgh Road, NR316ED, Victoria Road, Galston, and NR305PQ, Arthur Avenue in Great Yarmouth, all bagged £1,000 each. Playing the postcode lottery costs £12 per month, with 38% of the ticket money going to good causes. There are 20 draws each month, and winning postcodes are announced daily.
Right, so tip, recycling restrictions return. Norfolk's recycling centres have had to review restrictions on which electrical items can be taken to tips, after the fire-hit company which processed them was forced to stop operating. Wiser Recycling at Thetford, which Norfolk County Council used to process many of the electrical items people take to tips, such as computers, televisions, vacuum cleaners and vapes, was hit by a major fire last month. The council had to temporarily restrict electrical items at its tips, but was able to partially resume them after providing Wise Recycling with extra space. However, the council says the company has now lost its treatment facility approval and has had to stop operating from the Thetford area. That means Norfolk County Council has no legal way to deal with much of the electrical waste which people take to its 19 recycling centres. Therefore, County Hall has had to introduce a partial ban on what can be taken to recycling centres, while collections by district councils will also be affected. The County Council says it can still accept washing machines, tumble dryers, dishwashers and cookers. But other electrical items, such as microwaves, televisions or monitors, fridge freezers, laptops, batteries, mobile phones, printer cartridges, light bulbs and other small electrical items cannot be accepted. People are urged not to take those electrical items to tips, but to store them at home until the council finds a way to restart the services. The council is especially keen to avoid people putting electrical items, particularly batteries, in bins, as they can trigger fires. A county hall spokesman said, "We know this is inconvenient, and we're sorry for the disruption. Norfolk County Council is actively exploring all available options and working closely with national regulations and industry partners to put a safe and legal solution in place so that we can bring the service back as quickly as possible." The blaze came at a time when the county council had stopped accepting fridges and freezers at its recycling centres. That was because a fire at a West Midland business which dealt with those, coupled with a Welsh company which did likewise, going into administration, left the council struggling to find somewhere to process them.
The giant new Ferris wheel installed on Great Yarmouth Seafront is now officially in operation and offering visitors sweeping views of the town and coastline. The wheel, which closely resembles its predecessor in size, promises to become a standout feature of the promenade throughout the summer. A spokesman for Great Yarmouth Borough Council said, "The wait is over. The big wheel is finally and officially open from today on the Great Yarmouth seafront. Take to the skies and enjoy breathtaking views of our stunning coastline. There's no better way to see our beautiful town this summer." The council has announced a special offer for residents. Anyone living in postcode areas NR29 to NR32 can enjoy a ride on the Great Yarmouth Eye for just £5 per person. To claim the discounted fare, residents must present proof of address before purchasing their ticket. Visitors have already noted the similarities to the previous Ferris wheel, which was 50 metres tall and had 36 carriages. The former wheel was a prominent landmark visible from the Acle Strait. The main difference with the new installation is its orientation, as it faces in the opposite direction to the old wheel. The Ferris wheel is expected to draw large crowds over the summer, adding to the seafront's vibrant atmosphere and complementing the town's other family attractions. Many have welcomed its return, seeing it as a sign of ongoing investment and renewal along Great Yarmouth's popular coastal stretch.
Well, more news shortly, but first, a reminder that Grapevine Extra will be along after the news this week with Dusty on the good old typewriter and Julie on grandads. First, though, we must get you fully up to date with the rest of this week's local news.
A bus journey offering stunning views of the Norfolk coast is back for the spring and summer season. Open top tour buses providing views of Great Yarmouth's Golden Mile and the key seafront attractions have returned and will run until mid-September. The Coastal Clipper Cabriolet 1C, operated by First Bus, will take people from Seashore Holiday Park to the Pleasure Beach all day throughout spring and summer and into the evenings during the summer holidays. The buses call at Joyland, Britannia Pier, Pirates Cove Adventure Golf, the Marina Centre, Sea Life Centre, Wellington Pier, Merivale Model Village and the Big Wheel. They continue all along the East Norfolk coast to Caister, the holiday camps and resort of Scrapby and California, and onto Hemsby. You can hop on and off the bus as many times as you want by purchasing a day ticket. You can also purchase single fare tickets and group tickets. The open tour buses will run every day until September the 12th.
Cobham Primary Academy was found to be performing at a strong standard in 6 out of 7 areas during an Ofsted inspection in February. The school is among the first in the area to be inspected under Ofsted's new framework. Inspectors praised the school's approach to attendance, behaviour and classroom environment. The report said staff support pupils who need extra help to settle. Classrooms remain calm and purposeful. Pupils understand expectations and follow routines with confidence. The report highlighted the school's inclusive and nurturing environment. Inspectors said, leaders reduce any barriers to learning by making sure pupils receive the effective support they need. Staff do this extremely well. The report noted the high level of commitment from staff and their understanding of individual pupil needs. Ofsted said, leaders and staff know pupils' needs well. As a result, they consistently adapt teaching and implement reasonable adjustments for disadvantaged pupils and pupils with special educational needs and or disabilities when required. Progress in core subjects was also praised, with inspectors noting that all the pupils are making significant gains in reading, writing and maths. Ofsted said, leaders prepare pupils well for secondary school. Throughout pupils' time here, most grow in confidence and develop positive qualities such as resilience and independence. The school has shown steady improvements in academic outcomes in recent years. Danielle Sargent, principal at Cobham Primary Academy, credited the entire school community for the result. Miss Sargent said, this outcome is a testament to the hard work, dedication and resilience of our pupils and staff, as well as the strength of our wider school community. We're incredibly grateful for the continued support of our parents, carers and the local community.
A new mural celebrating a street busker who entertained locals and holidaymakers in Norfolk has been unveiled. The painting honours Aunt Arnold, who died in January and was known for his statue-style tribute to acts like Charlie Chaplin on Regent Road in Great Yarmouth, as well as in Norwich. The 58-year-old had worked for almost 40 years, performing as a range of other characters, including a robot. The artwork features two images of the entertainer, one with and another without his distinctive grey makeup, and can be found on Albion Road at the back of Martin's Walk Round store. The location is just 100 metres from the spot where Mr. Arnold performed daily for locals and holidaymakers alike. The mural was hand-painted by local artist Mendevan, who is part of the Represent project. Ruben Cruz, founder and CEO of the non-profit urban arts organisation, said, once the wall was offered to us as part of the project, we realised we needed to create something that connects both walls together. Being so close to the spot where Aunt Arnold used to perform, we knew it was a sign that his mural belonged there. We've had so much positive love from the community, and it's clear that Aunt Arnold was deeply loved by both residents and holidaymakers, Mr. Cruz added. Debbie Carter, company director of Martin's Walkround store, said, I would just like to say how lovely it was watching the process that Mendevan created, a wonderful piece of art for everyone to share. Clive Arnold, older brother of Mr. Arnold, said, I am absolutely thrilled with the work that Represent Project and Mendevan have produced. I know my brother Ant would have loved it. His life was dedicated to performing and bringing a little bit of sunshine to people's lives. The artwork is the latest addition in the Represent Street Gallery Wall series, which has seen murals created across Norfolk. Mr. Arnold was born in Essex and worked for almost 40 years performing a range of characters, including a robot clad in plastic armour and a living Charlie Chaplin statue. And he moved to Yarmouth in 2019 and lived with epilepsy. He was left with a condition after suffering a serious head injury when he was hit by a car at the age of 14. His homage to Charlie Chaplin once even led to an appearance in a BBC drama about a serial killer. In 2020, Mr. Arnold told this newspaper that he was lucky to have his talent to fall back on, before adding, "The best way I can deal with it is to stay on a high all the time and keep smiling." He died at home on Albion Road on January the 7th. A full inquest into his death is due to take place at Norfolk Coroner's Court on August the 5th.
Nando's could be coming to Great Yarmouth. Rumours a major restaurant chain is opening its first restaurant in Great Yarmouth have gathered pace after a new job listing. Whispers that Nando's, a South African restaurant chain best known for its chicken, would be opening in the town have swirled around for weeks now. Nando has previously been contacted for comment on the speculation by this newspaper. However, a new restaurant seems all but confirmed following a new job posting by the chain. An assistant manager role at the eatery in Gapton Hall Road is currently being advertised online. It looks as if Nando would potentially replace the former Pizza Hut unit, which closed in October. A Great Yarmouth location would become the chicken's largest fourth in Norfolk, and only a second outside of Norwich. The Red Lion Street and Riverside locations are currently only joined by one branch in King's Lynn.
Norfolk Radio Hams made contact with enthusiasts across 32 nations in commemoration of Marconi's birthday. Operating from Caister Lifeboat Station, Caister Amateur Radio Hams contacted nearly 180 radio operators on April the 25th, marking International Marconi Day. They contacted 179 radio amateurs in 32 countries using Morse code, telephony, and digital transmissions. Notable connections included GB41MD in Cornwall and GB0MBS in Dorset, along with IMD stations in Pisa, Italy, the Netherlands, Austria, and Sardinia. Other notable stations joined in from Massachusetts, USA, and Victoria, Australia. The Norfolk Amateur Radio Club, NARC, organised this event to commemorate the village's original Marconi wireless station, which was established at Caister in 1900. NARC's own public relations officer, Steve Nichols, said they started with a contact with Ian VKM30 in Victoria, Southern Australia. Steve said, "We never used more than 200 watts of power and often just 100 watts. This annual event, observed on the Saturday closest to Marconi's birthday, involves radio stations worldwide with historical ties to Marconi's work, further celebrating the inventor's legacy."
A local flat has been shut down for 3 months following serious antisocial behaviour. The closure order granted on a property in Townsend Close was secured after repeated complaints from the community about ongoing disturbances. The 3 month full closure order means that the property cannot be accessed by anyone, including the tenant, during that period. A spokesman for Great Yarmouth Borough Council said, "Successfully securing this full closure order was important for the community and sends out a message that our social landlord service teams and Norfolk Police will work hard to make sure our town is safe for everyone." The order was granted by magistrates on May the 1st, following evidence presented by the council's social landlord team and the police. The court was told that serious antisocial behaviour at the property, and people associated with it was causing a significant nuisance for the locals. And anyone found breaching the order could face up to 50 weeks in prison or an unlimited fine.
Highways bosses have dropped their objection to plans for a major development on the edge of Galston. The scheme would see 442 houses and a further 70 homes as part of an extra care facility built on the land south of Lynx Road. The plans, which have been lodged with Great Yarmouth Borough Council, also include a building intended for either shops or community use. Previously, Norfolk County Council Highways expressed concern about parking provision, dedicated visitor parking spaces on the main spine road, and adequate turning provision on private shared drives. In a letter recently sent to planners, however, it said the developer has worked to address the concerns with an update layout. As a result, the authority has removed its holding objection to the application. The application for the plans is Norfolk County Council through its company Repton Properties Developments, together with partner Lovell Homes. The site is 25 hectares of predominantly agricultural land owned by the County Council and bordered on one side by the busy A47 and near the James Paget Hospital. A planning statement submitted with the application says the development will deliver new homes for which there is a recognised local need and argues it can be built with no adverse impacts. Some locals disagree, however, and so far the plans are facing more than 20 objections from members of the public and Bradwell Parish Council, which has raised concern over traffic levels and the impact of the houses on local services. NHS and education bosses have warned the application will need to cough up more than £1.6 million for schools and health facilities. They said the scheme would bring almost 1,000 extra residents, dozens of school-aged children, and a spike in 999 calls. The same location previously saw plans to build 240 houses and a little supermarket, but they were withdrawn in July last year following concerns about a proposed Toucan roundabout.
Bags of cannabis worth more than £150,000 have been discovered in a house in Great Yarmouth. The drugs were found at a property in Northgate Street on Tuesday after police conducted a vehicle stop and arrested the driver on suspicion of an immigration offence in Frederick Road. The passenger, a woman in her 30s, was detained while the vehicle was searched, and checks were conducted with the further inquiries leading officers to the house. She was later arrested on suspicion of being concerned in the supply of a controlled drug. A man in his 20s fled the house when officers arrived, leading to a foot chase, which ended with him getting arrested in Palgrave Road on suspicion of being concerned in the supply of a controlled drug. He was later arrested for an immigration offence. Another man in his 20s was also arrested on suspicion of being concerned in the supply of a controlled drug. Approximately 50 cannabis plants were later discovered by officers at an address in Lancaster Road. All four individuals remain in custody in Great Yarmouth Police Investigation Centre for questioning.
The A149 Caister Bypass will be shut southbound from Norwich Road to Yarmouth Road from May the 11th to May the 13th from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. for £150,000 worth of repair works. Surface dressing, line painting and the replacement of road studs will all take place. On June the 1st and again from June the 9th to June the 10th, the repairs will continue overnight with the same closure timings. All works will mainly be carried out overnight to reduce disruption. Norfolk County Council's Infrastructure Department and its contractors are carrying out the project, which is expected to cost £150,000. Surface dressing involves applying a bitumen layer and chippings to extend road life by preventing water penetrating and helping stop potholes from opening up. Drivers are advised to move cautiously over the newly treated surface, aiding the bedding in process. The work is weather dependent and will be carried out in phases, and access to properties will be maintained at all times.
A local bowls club has created new changing facilities. Ormsey Bowls Club members raised money for the build with help from a Sport England support grant. The new facilities are named after head groundskeeper Mick Hart and club president John Key for their service and support of the club for a number of years.
After months of disruption and a last-minute bout of congestion, there was finally a huge sigh of relief from drivers on a stretch of the A47. Motorists welcomed a new, fully dualled section of the road between Blowfield and North Burlingham on Wednesday morning, May the 6th. But some say the benefits will be blunted by bottlenecks and safety concerns. National Highways lifted the cones off the 2.6-mile stretch of dual carriageway 3 years after preparatory work began on the £100 million upgrade. Programme manager Chris Griffin confirmed the new road is now fully open at 70 miles an hour. He said, "Works continue with the other vital jobs, such as finishing the local road network, installing the new cycle paths and landscaping. We thank the travelling public and the local community for their patience during these works." It means that the whole A47 route from Norwich to Acle Strait is 70 mph, after parts had a 40 mph limit imposed for the major project. Drivers had faced heavy delays on the A47 between Blowfield and North Burlingham during the project, with lanes coned off and a 40 mph speed limit brought in. On Facebook, some regular users of the route were quick to praise the smoother, faster journey. "Good bit of road now," wrote Linda Hartley Demner, while another commenter, Malcolm West, called the reopening fantastic news. Others simply celebrated the end of months of disruption, with one woman posting, "Went on it this morning and I was shocked. Ha ha, at least it's back open." The cheers were tempered by frustration, however, that drivers still grind to a halt when they reach the single carriageway, Acle Strait. Until you hit the bottleneck, aka Acle Strait, 8 miles of 50 mph single carriageway, said Michael Mallins, while Jonathan Patrick urged, "Now do the Acle Strait. There was nothing wrong with the previous A47, but the Acle Strait is a joke." Several motorists questioned why the road had opened before the central reservation was fully in place. Anna Smith said she would have preferred to see the central reservation completed before opening.
A lifeboat station supporter has celebrated her 100th birthday by completing 70 years of volunteering. Helen Daniels is a volunteer with RNLI Great Yarmouth and Galston Lifeboat and reached 100 on Thursday. She's been volunteering with the Lifeboat Guild and raising money for the station since 1956. A Facebook post from the lifeboat station said, "She works tirelessly to raise money to keep our lifeboats saving lives at sea. Helen is still a very active member of the fundraising guild, and we thank her for her services so far and wish her a very happy birthday from all the crew. How lovely is that?
A Norwich man threatened to smash a security guard's face in at a caravan park, a court has heard. Dara O'Carroll, 31, of Rolleston Close, made the angry threat to a member of security at a caravan park in Great Yarmouth on December the 22nd, 2025. Appearing at Great Yarmouth Magistrates Court, he pleaded guilty to common assault. Ellen Connolly, prosecuting, said, on December the 22nd, 2025, security staff contacted the police. The defendant was refusing to leave the site and was behaving aggressively. The defendant had threatened to punch a member of the security team. The defendant had made threats. I will smash your face in and come and fight me. I will smash you up. The defendant was therefore arrested. David Folks, mitigating, said, Mr. O'Carroll didn't make contact with the security guard. Given the drunk state he was in, there was going to be an offence. The security guards were trained to deal with it. O'Carroll has been fined £120 for the offence. He must also pay the victim surcharge of £48 and prosecution costs of £40.
Well, that's all for this week's news, so welcome to Grapevine Extra. Yes, your extra bits this week are Julie with a grandfather judge, after we've heard from Dusty reminiscing about the manual typewriter.
What I was going to tell you was a few catch-ups on one of the articles that this lovely lady has done in the Eastern Daily Press for typewriters. And I'm sure some of you will have wonderful memories of the old typewriters and your days of learning and so on. And she says, lots of people have written in and said, I've heard from dozens of readers about their memories of typewriters. Anne Mercer told me, I'm 73 and learned to touch type at British Petroleum Typing School at the age of 16 on a key clacking typewriter. I retired from office work last July and recall using the various relics of the past, such as telex, facsimile and comptometers. I am also frustrated by the current never-ending barrage of pop-ups, software updates, and Julie will tell you about this, software updates and passwords before you can even start business of the day. Anyway, Hilary Tonks said, I totally agree with your observations of typewriters compared to modern computers and printers. It would probably be quicker in the end for me to use a typewriter and a less stressful than puzzling out the connections on computers and printers. At the age of 15, Jean Angus, now 78, applied for a job at the Ministry of Aviation, typing training school, and started in January 1963, earning £4.14 a week. She recalled, successful applicants had to learn to touch type and reach the speed of 30 words per minute before being allowed and allocated out onto one of the typing pools. There were about 15 of us in the typing pool, and I was allocated to, with a very strict supervisor. The clacking certainly was loud. And then finally, our reader picture was sent in by Doug Fulcher, 93, God bless him, which was taken while he was being trained as a typewriter mechanic in Letchworth. That must have been an important job, must it, Letchworth, mm-hmm. In 1956. Mm-hmm. Now, Margaret, you used to do typing, didn't you?
Yes. I think I was probably about
9 or 10 when I first tried to use a typewriter. I was fortunate in that my grandmother was friends with the lady who was the sister of a local estate agent, and they had an office on Springfield Road, and in the office was a typewriter. I was told that if I was a very, very good girl and very careful, that I could go round one day and try to use the typewriter, which I did. And it was a lovely experience. I went several times. I don't suppose I graduated beyond two fingers at that stage, but I felt tremendously important. You would really have thought that I was typewriting for the Queen. I can't remember exactly what I wrote, but it was lovely. And anyway, but it was some years later, when I was during my teaching career, that I decided that it would be very, very useful to know how to use a typewriter. So I went to evening classes at what was then the premises of the old Church Road School. That's right, yes, it was. Yes. And I was very, very pleased when I managed to pass the stage one. And then later on I tried for the stage two, but it just didn't work out. Nearly everybody else who was in the class already had jobs involving typewriters, and you know, and I didn't. It didn't work out. I was completely out of my depth.
One of the famous schools was Pittman's, wasn't it?
Pittman's, yes.
Well, my other half, she went to Pittman's.
Did she?
Yes, and she came out. She was brilliant. And they had to do it to music, didn't they?
Yes. And all that's sort right. Of stuff. Yes.
I think Pittman's was down Prince Wales Road in Norwich.
Well, it was in London as well, wasn't it? It
was
all over the place.
Yes.
Whereas I've been typing away at computers for 50 years, I still only use two fingers.
when the computers first sort of really took off and everybody had them, and I went along to this computer course and I said, well, I can touch type. The woman looked at me as if I was something out of the Dark Ages. Mm-hmm. That was no longer relevant. You didn't need it.
No longer regarded as a skill.
Exactly, yes.
I think I really ought to have learned, but I never did.
I still have my electric typewriter at home, but I don't really use it much now.
So there was Olivetti's, weren't there?
Yes. Oh, yes.
What was the other one?
Imperial.
My dad had him.
And an IBM. And a,
yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes.
My dad was good at it. He did one finger at a time.
Well, yes. I've told you in the past that we didn't have a lot of money when I was a kid, and I went to business college, and my father said, I will get you a typewriter so you can practice. Well, this archaic relic arrived, which, like, so heavy you couldn't believe it. Was all, and the keys came downwards. They didn't. In normal keys, they go up, don't they? From the these ones didn't. They came down from the back, right. One key at a time,
right.
And slapped down on the. Honestly, if I'd got it now, it'd be worth a fortune.
Yes,
would be.
And I had to say how grateful I was for it. But learning to speed type on it was not a plan. No, it wasn't going to happen.
See, we've been talking all about this doorbell thing, haven't we? And all that. And look where we've come from, a little old typewriter that take a message on and that kind of stuff.
Well, my first thing was a little manual typewriter that my dad had bought at some time, and there's typing up school reports or something. Just about then when we were allowed to, I think in the last few years of school you were allowed to type, but most of the time you had to handwrite it all, of course. Well, that's being lost now, isn't it? The kids can barely write these days.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Let alone do anything else.
But the original ones had a ribbon in, didn't they?
Yes.
Red and black.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this one where all my friends would have been going click, 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 this. Yes. This one went slap, slap, slap. It's just dreadful.
Yes.
Never mind.
Yes.
Do you remember the piece of music, the typewriter?
That was clever, wasn't it? Yes. Yes.
Graham might be able to find that.
Yes, he probably can, yes.
Oh, yes, he probably will put that on. Yes. I'm a bit surprised.
And I think I've told you about Mr. Finn in the past. He was a school inspector. And this one is called Grandma, I Love You Till You Go To Your Grave, it says. And it's called The Little Philosophers. I've met some remarkable, confident, articulate and clever children in my time who have amazed me with their perceptive questions, astute comments and sharp observations. In a junior school, I met a small girl of about 7 or 8, a cheerful, chatty little thing with curly red hair and a wide smile, and I soon discovered she was bright as a button. Mr. Finn, are you very important? She asked. No, not very, I replied. Our teacher told us that you were a very, very important person. Well, I think she was exaggerating just a little bit. My grandpa's a very important person, the child told me. Is he? He wears a wig, you know, and a long red dress. Does he? And a shiny shoes and high heels and big silver buckles on the front. I see. I had visions of a drag queen, but I suspected I knew what her grandfather did for a living. He's a judge, she informed me. Yes, I thought he might be. And he locks naughty people up, she told me. By the way, my name is India and I'm named after a country. I leaned across the table and I whispered confidently, well, my name is Gervase and I'm named after a yoghurt. The child giggled. You're not really named after a yoghurt, are you? People aren't named after yoghurts. When my mother was expecting me, India, I told her, putting on a very serious expression, she had a passion for a particular French yoghurt called Gervase and for broccoli. I think I did pretty well to have a name she picked, don't you? Could have been called Broccoli. I don't know what you mean, Mr. Finn, said India, giggling and pointing a little finger at me. Do you? You're like my grandpa, Mr. Finn. You're a tease. He's a lot of fun, my grandpa. I bet he's not a lot of fun in the courtroom, I thought to myself, in his wig and long red dress and buckled shoes. There wouldn't be any teasing then. And do you like to be teased, India? I said. Yes, I do, rather. It's fun. That's if it's not cruel. Grandpa says you shouldn't tease people about the way they look. And Grandpa says that they're all different, and that's why the world is such a wonderful place. Big or small, short or tall, black or white, dark or light, God loves us all. That's what Grandpa says. He's a very wise man, your Grandpa, India, I told her. India sighed, shook her head, and gave me a condescending look. Of course he is, Mr. Finn. He's a judge and a grandpa. Oh,
that's a lovely story.
Yes, yes.
I'm glad I let you have them.
I've been sitting here all day thinking, same old dream 10 years away, thinking, now my days are gone, memories linger on, thoughts of when I was a boy. Penny farthings on the street, riding motor cars, but funny things frightening, bowling hoops and spinning tops, penny dreadfuls, lollipops, comic cuts, all different things. Tied up with string, lying. Telephones and talking things sighing. A radio and phonograph. Charlie Chaplin made us laugh. Silently falling about. Familiar things I keep around near me. Memories of my younger days. Come into my mind. Every day I find thoughts of when I was a boy.
Granddad, granddad, lovely. That's what we all think of you.
Well, that's it for this week. Grapevine is copyright 2026 of the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. News content is adapted mainly from the Great Yarmouth Mercury. However, the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association accept responsibility for editorial decisions made for this recording. Next week, your newsreaders will be the other Margaret and Andy. So, we look forward to your company for that. But, in the meantime, here's hoping that you stay safe and well. So, from all your friends at Grapevine, have a good week, and it's bye for now.